The NBA, Area 51, and Agent Orange on Twitter. Is this a crazy time to be alive or what? This is Tadatus.
Oh, sorry. Here we go. There we go. Nick, what's happening?
Cheers.
Tadatus is back for another episode. What are you up to, 27 now, sir?
27.
Baby. That seems like a pretty good run. I'm actually kind of proud of that. 27?
Yeah. He is Josh. I am Nick.
Mostly because I'm lazy and I didn't think we'd get past like two. But okay. This is Tadatus, T-A-D-A-T-A-S. You can find us at Tadatus.com. That's the website that we put together. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, at Tadatus Pod.
Google Play.
And the podcast. Yeah, they're on the Google Play, Stitcher, and
iTunes.
Yeah, right. There we go. All right. Got that out of the way quick and hard and fast. Okay, so is this the craziest time to be alive, Nick? It is so crazy. So crazy.
So we'll start with something light, simple, and easy.
Yeah, like the NBA is easy and simple. You kidding me?
Well, listen, it's simple. The Rockets got Westbrook. Brody and the Beard are back together.
You know what's so funny is like we haven't done a podcast in a couple weeks, and I told you that I'm trying to do a better job of like show prepping. You know what I mean? Like you said, also we're going to take notes and this and that. So I was like, I wrote down some notes. So the first notes I wrote had nothing to do with Westbrook in them. You know what I mean? It was like, what are they going to do? And now the trade happened. It's like, oh my gosh, that's going to dominate the Rockets talk. Because we talked about this before. Man. What were they going to do with Chris Paul, that contract, so on and so forth?
I thought we were sitting with the existing team and we were going to be done with it and that was it.
Yeah. Because
nobody was going to make a move.
But the existing team, you're kind of getting a little more comfortable with because you saw, you know, everything was changing, right? The West was getting deeper, kind of, but not so top-heavy, maybe.
Right.
You know?
The Warriors have been dismantled. The Lakers built up. Where the Rockets trade actually came to life was when Oklahoma City traded Paul George.
Right.
Because, again, the last time we did a podcast, nobody knew that was coming. Nobody had any idea Paul George was going anywhere.
Right.
But he leaves. He joins Kawhi with the Clippers.
Westbrook, which is fascinating itself.
Yeah. And then Westbrook is sitting there in Oklahoma City, says, I want out. The only two places he wanted to go was Houston or what was the other one? Was it Miami? No, it wasn't Miami.
I don't know. I don't know what
we made the first move. Him and Harden have been boys forever.
That's the positive side of this thing is that they really want to play together.
Right.
You know, and they've known each other for a long time. They have a history of playing together.
I think there's something so important about that.
Yeah, the want to. They
both asked for this.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, it was funny. I was talking to Kunas yesterday, and he asked me about it. And I said, we can go statistics. We can go player for player. We can go, obviously, bigger, taller, stronger, faster, younger, all that stuff. He's like, no, I don't want to hear statistical answer, Nick. Tell me how you really feel. And I said, well, my gut is I'm happy. They want to play together. They want to play together.
That's something, I think.
And they've,
definitely.
And they've, it's not just nostalgia. You know, now the last time they did play together, they got to the NBA Finals. So we shall see, but I'm excited. If they're happy and they're good with it.
Hold on, the last time they played together? Not the last year they played together, right?
Yes.
But that was the last year they played together?
That was
the
last year they played. They lost to LeBron, D-Wade, Bosh, and Ray Allen.
That's an interesting point. I didn't realize that. You know, if on paper you just take player for player, Chris Paul wasn't knocking on the door for MVP. Westbrook might have been, you know, was a couple years
ago,
obviously, but you know, he's in that, on that short list. You know, there's all-star appearances that like individual talent. I think Westbrook's a better player, right?
He's a walking triple double for 3 years.
Exactly. He's averaging a triple double for 3 years. Okay. So, that's on the positive side. Now the negative that everybody's talking about is there's only one ball. Who's going to take the final shot? You know what I mean? All that, but you know, I know when guys are committed to winning, I think sometimes you can supersede all that, like, ego stuff, you know what I mean? Somebody's asking the other day, like, who's going to take the last shot? It's like, man, that is such a subjective kind of question. It's like, what's going on in the game, you know what I mean?
Right.
Who has the hot hand? Right. What kind of defense are they playing? You know what I mean? Who's going to be open?
Right, who are they playing? Who's going to be guarding the ball? I mean, there's too many things
to go into that. Sports talks radio, you need to define the man and who's going to, you know, Batman and Robin, right? Who's going to be Batman, who's going to be Robin?
Like,
but you know, in this situation, I think it can be Batman one night and Batman the next, you know, Robin the next night for some of these situations. Listen, it's all about winning. And if you win specifically early on, you know, because the team wasn't winning early on last year and they had to kind of make a run at it, even though the first year Chris Paul's here, they were really,
yeah,
really good.
Those were night and day years, first year, second year.
You know, I think maybe something that's maybe getting lost, maybe not lost in this, people have talked about it, but CP3 has not left a good, like, you know, his wake has kind of been negative in a lot of ways. He's kind of gotten run out of town, you know what I mean? And this one, it, you know, you have to feel that there is something to the Harden Chris Paul beef, right?
Sure. There was too much smoke not to be some sort of fire there, but in the same token, obviously not being privy to all the information, what I say is I didn't think Chris Paul was a problem here. I think Chris Paul, not the player, but
I'm just curious, the idea that he's a bad teammate, like that concept that he's a bad teammate.
I think he's going to be a really good coach one day.
Yeah. There you go. What, you know, I mean, that's something, but is he a bad teammate, you think?
I don't know, but there's validity what you're saying there as well, is that, you know, he was with the Hornets, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't end well there. Then he went with the Clippers for a while.
Right. Seemed like he ruffled some feathers there as well. Got traded out of there, and then
with us, I don't know that he's necessarily ruffled feathers. I think the most interesting part of all of it too, or at least not the one of the most interesting points of it, is that Fertitta has come in and said, "I'm not here for mediocrity. I bought this place. We're going to win. We got a championship team. We're going to go for it." Everybody's got a timeline as far as winning. He wants now.
Okay,
and I don't know that with Chris Paul on this team another year.
Like, how much does an owner, does a dynamic owner really play into the final product other than...
just the financing of it.
Okay.
Just the financing of it. But he's willing to make moves and obviously be involved in these moves.
I think I voiced my opinion a couple times on his financing it and how he did make moves last year to get under the salary cap, and how I have read a report this year that they're cautious on the Iguodala deal because they don't want to go too far into luxury tax, so on and so forth. So, like, you know, yeah, he's willing to finance it, but it's not like he's not like New York Yanking it where he's like, just spend every single dime we can, you know? So I don't know if that's frugal. I don't know if that's being cheap. I don't know how you articulate that. But what I'm saying, you know, what the point is, you know, it's really Daryl Morey that orchestrates or does the heavy lifting with regards to player personnel, right? I mean, yeah, you can say Tillman wants to win, so on and so forth, and then it's up to D'Antoni to devise a system, you know, that he even said it, you know, it's his job to put both those players in the best situation to be the most productive.
Well, what's interesting also games. Is that D'Antoni, he didn't have a contract.
Right. Right.
He's on an audition too, so I think you have valid points there, but I do really believe that Fertitta is at least involved enough to the fact that he didn't buy this team to have a mediocre team.
No, neither did the guy from the Clippers, right? Ballmer or whatever. So, I mean, these owners, like when you own a basketball team, that means you have a certain level of success, unless I guess your dad owned the team and you inherited it. But I mean, typically you have a certain level of success and it takes a certain type of personality, right? That A-type alpha kind of personality. Tillman exhibits everything that you'd expect an owner, you know, to exhibit. And that kind of brings me to a concept. I want to ask you a question, and that was, do you like when your team swings for the fences?
Absolutely.
Like, okay, obviously you like this trade.
I do.
Right? On paper, I think we both like this trade. If nothing more than it injects some optimism, I guess. And the unknown is so much more interesting probably to a lot of fans than the regurgitating the past. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I love, and you know, being a soccer fan, there's a lot more of this like movement in soccer with regards to players and players demanding to go somewhere and you know, signing the big players like a big deal in soccer. You know, if you probably haven't paid attention, but
not at all.
Like what's going on right now in you know, quote unquote,
free agency. Somebody got a big contract, right?
A lot of them have gotten big contracts this summer.
I saw something, some guy.
But
like, oh yeah, who cares?
Neymar plays for PSG, for example, and he wants to go back to Barcelona. And the latest thing I heard about that, he's Brazilian. He's like their superstar. Doesn't matter. The latest I heard was that their Barcelona's offering PSG 115 million, whatever. I think it was in dollars whenever I was reading it. And two players from a list of six. It's like, yeah, this one guy's worth $115 million plus two players. And the list, I don't think, was like, it wasn't the scrubs. You know what I mean? It's like, right. Hey, you know, you can't have these guys, but one of these players available, which is so interesting. And you're seeing more of those dynamic kind of moves in basketball, in NBA basketball. And I think it makes the game more interesting. I'm okay with my team swinging for the fences and going for it. I want you to go and grab the best player because, listen, a lot of ways it's championship or bust. Now, you can't mortgage the future, which, you know, people will argue that the Rockets have no first-round picks in a million years. Yeah. But you know, the NBA draft is a lot largely a crapshoot. They signed a guy, I forget his name now, that was like the number one overall pick three or four years ago. Yeah, three or 4 years ago, and it was like one of those Daryl Morey's, like, hey, listen, if this guy, you know, somebody thought he was good once upon a time. Yeah. If he pans out, maybe he pans out. If not, you know, it's not going to cost us anything.
One of my car dealers asked me about the guy, and I was like, I have no idea who that is. He's like, you know, he was a number one pick, like
number
5 years
overall,
ago.
I think,
like,
yeah, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
No idea who he is.
I was like, I have no clue who that guy is. What are you talking about?
We still don't. We actually did some homework today, but we still don't know the guy's name. But that's just another interesting kind of thing about the NBA draft is such a crapshoot.
I'm on the Starburst here, too. Okay. I still stand by my statement. I don't think Zion's going to make it.
Why don't you think he's going to make it? Is he fat right now?
No, I just...
Hold on. What did you say before? You said he was not going to make it. What do you mean? Like in the NBA?
I think he's going to be a bust.
Oh, no way.
I don't think... No. He's not coming in and being a star and dominating shit. No.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right. Well, that remains
to be
seen.
He's going to be closer to Greg Oden than he is to... anybody.
Really?
He's going to be closer to Greg Oden than he is to LeBron James.
I was going
to
write that down, but we got this for forever and ever. But, okay, wow, I don't think he's going to be that. I don't mean, he may not be like super duper number one overall.
He's going to be closer to that side than he is to LeBron James.
Wow, I don't know if I agree with that.
I cannot tell you what, there's not anything that he just did statistically in college that says, Nick, you're spot on.
Okay.
It's just, he has failed my eye test for something. Something about him failed my eye test. And I think that kid's going to be a bust. I could be wrong, and that's okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, it remains to be seen. I don't know. I don't put it on that.
I'm sorry. It was random start, but you got me going on NBA draft there.
Yeah, I know. Anything else on NBA? Did you hear about... I don't know if it's all teams, but some teams are doing this, but apparently they don't like the term owner anymore. So,
oh, that's right.
So the owners, we call it, I think, governor.
Somebody said that. I think that was joking, though.
No, I think it's serious.
No, why would you call him the governor?
Well, I don't know. I don't understand why the point is like you can't come owner because that word triggers people or something. It's like the Betty Ross sneakers. Apparently Nike. That's
Betsy Ross.
What did I say?
Betty.
Betsy. Betty. Betty Crocker, I think is. Now, if you go for Betty Crocker, we got some fighting to do. I don't really care. I was going to buy those Nike shoes anyways, but I just think it's funny that this kind of woke social justice kind of thought process is affecting businesses now.
Sure.
That's just super, super interesting to me. But
it's also frustrating.
Why?
Just like you said, okay, what difference? Why on earth would it matter to call the owner of a team the owner?
I mean, what else would you call them? Like, how do you articulate what they do? They own the team.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they put up the money for it, and they're the ultimate decision maker.
The purchase of the rights to do all this, blah, blah, blah.
It's their money if they lose money, so on and so forth. But none of these teams lose money anymore.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's nonsense. When we get upset over words... As simple as that.
Yeah, you know, we're supposed to go light and bright the first hour, but I'll say it like this. Typically, people who say these things that they say, "Oh, this word is problematic," or it triggers me, or whatever their phraseology means that says that that this is bad. This,
phraseology.
This is bad word. Bad word. That's a bad word. Owner is a bad word because it reminds me of
a time
of this story. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it reminds them of, but I guess it's supposed to represent that basketball players are the slaves and there was I can't remember the actor's name, but there's an Indian actor and he put something, you know, there's a whole thing going on. Oh, we're so getting into the weeds right now. Let's put a pump the brakes on the weeds.
Yeah, let's go back because we're still on sports.
Yeah, so the governor thing is really, really, really goofy and. It's the bigger issue of it, I think,
is Betty Crocker.
Is Betty Crocker? Yeah, I think that's exactly it. No, I didn't want to. Okay, we'll move on.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the governor anymore. Anything else on the NBA? I mean, everybody changed teams.
For the record,
Kevin Durant's going to the East.
Durant is with Kyrie in Brooklyn.
Right.
Except he's not playing this year because he's out with his Achilles
for pretty much the whole year unless they make the playoffs or something.
The Warriors are down to Steph and Clay, but they do have Draymond, so it's going to be Steph and Draymond because Clay is going to be out most of the year because of his knee.
I saw a ranking of top pairings of players in the NBA and they had Steph and Draymond at number 2.
That's silly.
Yeah.
That's silly. Draymond is going to be prove how much of a factor he isn't when the other stars aren't there.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe he takes on a bigger role, but I just don't think that they're deep enough to really challenge. It had Westbrook and Harden at number 4.
LeBron. Who was the one? LeBron and Anthony Davis?
No, it was Kawhi and
Paul George.
Paul George, Steph and Draymond at two, and then AD and LeBron
Kawhi
at three.
And Paul George is interesting because they both really play ridiculous defense.
And they're both like
30-point scorers.
But they're both like a two and a three. I mean, they're kind of both a three in a lot of ways, but they're basically going to play the two and a three interchangeably. But they're wing guys who play defense, who can knock down a three ball, carry their own shot. It's a really interesting matchup. Yeah.
Didn't the Lakers get Danny Green also, though?
I
think they got him on a one-year deal. I'm pretty sure, yeah. Danny Green's with the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis, Kawhi and Paul George.
Yeah, and then Jimmy Butler, the whole deal is getting Jimmy Butler. He went to Miami.
Yeah, we wanted him, but, I mean, now he's down there with whom?
I don't know, but how about this?
They said Oklahoma Jimmy City Butler. Was
try if
to
Jimmy
Chris
Butler
Paul,
was going
to
be on this
either.
Team next year, I don't think Chris Paul is not going to be on the team. But you're probably not going to have PJ Tucker, and you're probably not going to have Eric Gordon. That being said, do you like what you have now with Westbrook?
I like because I really like that we re-signed Daniel House and Austin Rivers and Gerald Green.
Tyson Chandler.
I like that one too.
Yeah, it's a nice backup role to Clint Capela.
He's not a huge scorer guy, but he's going to actually help Clint.
Yeah,
he's going to help Clint in practice and show him, hey, listen, this is how you dig your heels in.
Well, he's a rebound guy.
This is how you actually stay in the fucking way. This is how you don't get run over by people that are smaller than you in the paint.
I think Fried's still on the team, and they have the bird rights to Iman Shumpert's contract as well.
Yeah, but I don't think
so. They can either sign him, or I was also reading that they can sign him to a restricted. It's a really goofy
Iman
thing.
Iman Shumpert.
Yeah, they can sign him to a contract and use that money for trade bait because even there's a like a loophole that they can use that contract for a trade and still not pay luxury tax or something like that. So he could be part of the team as a stopgap in order to be traded down the road. He could be part of the team because maybe you just want to fill out a roster and he's not going to cost you a whole lot.
Is Fareed still under contract? For whatever reason, I thought he had a 2-year deal with us.
I don't remember the circumstances on that one, but when I saw latest roster after the Westbrook trade, it had him on there. So I just assumed that they either have his rights or he's still on the team. And I think they had Shumpert on that list as well, which maybe they assumed that they were going to sign Shumpert. I think the Shumpert deal doesn't cost you a lot of money and he could be trade bait.
Sure. Ultimately, yes, I like this team more now the way that we made the move. I like Chris Paul. I'm glad that he was here. He was really good the first year. He got hurt.
Yeah, it was nice to have a second star.
He wasn't bad. And I don't have any ill will or bad feelings towards him at all.
I don't mind the Rockets. I mean,
I also don't mind them trading.
How about this? They did the big deal to get Harden. So far, that's proved to be a good deal. You know, hasn't come to fruition with regards to... They've been a really good team. They've been contender pretty much every year. And they had Dwight Howard for a while. You know, what was that deal? That was a free agent signing, I think.
From the Lakers. He came to us from the Lakers, did he not?
Yeah, but I think it was a free agent signing. Did we trade for him? Because he got traded to the Lakers and then didn't sign with them.
Right.
So that was a whole deal they wanted to sign. So we signed him on the free agent side, and then we...
If I believe I read correctly the other day, or I remember correctly, is that Dwight Howard's actually about to be teamless. He was...
Traded somewhere.
He was a part of a trade to a team that was had said already that if they trade goes through, he was going to cut him.
Yeah, or do whatever, buyout.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, what happened to D12?
I mean, Father Time, I don't know. I mean, he was good here, but he wasn't the style of player. I mean, the NBA is changing a lot of ways. Back to the basket, he's not really back to the basket. He was like Clint Capela. You know, Clint Capela in a lot of ways could be Dwight Howard in a couple of years if he doesn't develop a little bit more of an offensive repertoire.
But if he goes to the gym nonstop.
Oh, you mean he can give him that?
Dude, Dwight Howard was massive.
Yeah. I get it. He was a block machine and dunk machine and alley-oop, so on and so forth. But and that's what the Rockets need. Yeah. I mean, Clint Capela to be. But, I mean, my point was that they've swung for the fences. They went with Dwight Howard. They went for he was one of the biggest free agents that year to pair with James Harden. That style didn't quite work. It worked one year. He got, almost to the finals,
Western Conference Finals.
They went to seven games that year, I think. Didn't they?
With Dwight Howard, actually, no. We lost to Portland in six. That wasn't the Western Conference, though. That was...
I think... wasn't it?
Semis.
Anyways, listen.
Since Harden has been here, we've made it to at least the Western semis every year.
Yeah.
And the Western Conference Finals like four
times. They've been good. They've been really good. And specifically under D'Antoni.
And I think with Westbrook being here. I just think it's going to make a big difference. Again, what I really like about him, aside from what we've talked about, is he does play a full 48 minutes. And that's something that the Rockets have had.
For sure.
Other than PJ Tucker, I don't feel like anybody would ever actually play a full 48.
Yeah, you miss that Beverly kind of tenacity, yes. You know.
And we've got
he's going to add a little bit of that to the games, for sure.
He hates to lose. He doesn't ever quit. The dude is a machine running up and down the court. And that's going to create all kinds of opportunity for him and for Harden and for the rest of the guys.
Hating to lose
and playing for 48, when you have two guys that are out there doing that, and if we still have Fareed on this team, he was a big part of that energy too. Man, we can be something special. We really can.
Yeah, and you know, I guess you got to put it in D'Antoni's hands to best utilize those guys. If there's a mutual respect for each other, then maybe they're willing to, you know, defer in certain situations and, you know, be coached, you know what I mean, in those certain situations. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of optimism around this move. You know, I think player for player you upgrade, although you did give up the two draft picks. You didn't lose Eric Gordon or P.J. Tucker in this deal.
I did not want to lose Gordon or Tucker.
And those guys have been so integral to what you've done over the last 4 years. You know, P.J. Tucker less so, but Eric Gordon been around
for three.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, both those guys have been really, really important to what you're trying to do. And overall, you know, Eric Gordon kind of running the second offense and P.J. Tucker being that kind of, you know,
he can play
play the five, play the four, you know, cover threes if he needs to, switch defense first, knock down a corner three.
Yeah.
I mean, just do a little bit of everything you need on any given night. And, those guys are so few and far between.
There was many a nights where you'd see P.J. Tucker have 1 point or no points, but he'd have
four steals and a block or two. Yeah, exactly.
But a bunch of boards.
And stuff you can never see on paper. You know what I mean? The hustle plays and just locking down their best player at times. Yeah, so P.J. Tucker, just that alone. And then Eric Gordon on the other side of the ball, offensively being able to knock down a three, dribble penetrate, you know, all that stuff that, you know, when Harden became, you know, obviously the number one point guard when D'Antoni came there, Eric Gordon got to run that second offense and be like the mini Harden, drive and dish, you know, penetrate, knock down a three.
Absolutely.
Create his own shot. And that, man, that is so valuable, specifically with that second team. And it remains to be seen, like, where Eric Gordon kind of fits into this next season with
Westbrook going to be.
Yeah.
There's going to be Harden and Westbrook running, but there's going to be a point where they're both sitting on the floor or on the bench at some
potentially,
point.
Potentially, yeah.
It's going to be some point.
Yeah. So
I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of different as far as the relationship and the dichotomy between Harden and Westbrook that you did between Harden and Paul as far as being able to play together. On the floor.
Yeah.
And because it's not like they were fighting on the floor. It's not like they were fighting over the ball.
But definitely stylistically different.
I just think you just crank up the athleticism from what we had to what we have now.
From like a 6 to 11, something like that, yeah.
And I have absolute faith that it's going to work. Again, although we've talked about it, and I told you, for those of you that haven't seen the meme, you know, you can find the NBA 2K20. It's a picture of Harden and Westbrook on the team together, and somebody's already created the still or made the still shot where they had Harden and Westbrook actually fighting for the ball on the court in the game, which was hilarious.
I think that's less likely.
No, I think it's hilarious, and I appreciate the sentiment. I don't think that's actually going to happen at all. But I think it's hilarious that people would say that because they said that when we got Chris Paul.
Right, and it was really good for one year, a little bit.
Well, we only have Westbrook for four right now, so that's okay.
Max dollars. You know, hey, something we didn't really talk about was that if this doesn't work, you know, if we say we're on a two-year window, if this just crashes in the second year, kind of like it did this year with Harden and
Paul.
Chris Paul, and it didn't really crash, but I mean, you know, number four seed and knocked out in the second round, that would be a failure in a lot of ways, specifically with the troubles they had early in the season.
Right.
Westbrook's contract seems way more tradable after 2 years. You know what I mean? Even though it's a max, so on and so forth, he'd be a little bit
still,
older. But that the player seems to be like, if you have to move that, you know, and I guess Harden also, you know, if you have to move that contract because you like Westbrook better, I don't think that's the case. But either way,
so.
Or maybe a total rebuild, you go for those
one
eight
of my
draft
buddy
picks.
From Oklahoma, Jason, I call him Big Dog. He messaged me as soon as the trade was announced. He's like, well, I guess I'm now officially a Rockets fan.
Oh, nice.
Well, because every year at the beginning of the year, I've made it a point to text him, hey, thanks for James Harden. Thanks again for James Harden. And he's always like, you're welcome. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw the memes about, man, if Kevin Durant gets traded midseason or something, wouldn't that be interesting? Oklahoma City South.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we'll win it here.
I mean, yeah, whatever. Who knows? Who knows? All right, real quick, let's do a little bit of baseball, and then we'll probably take a break. So
the Astros are starting to get healthy. We are Aledmys Díaz and Carlos Correa from being healthy.
Weeks away. I mean,
Correa's longer. Aledmys is supposed to be back, I think, next week, and then they're shooting for Correa the 26th of July.
Okay, so a few weeks away from both those guys being healthy.
28th, something
like that. Altuve starting to hit the ball again.
By the way, turn it on in here. When we go to break, turn it on so we just have it on. See.
Yeah.
They were up 6-0 when I left.
I think the pitching right now is the suspect. Once you get out of the top three, it is such a, you know, such a...
Do you mean Frappuccino Valdez or Flambe or whatever his name is?
Oh, man, I don't even know who these guys are anymore. It's called Gas Can.
I can't call him by his name because that's a man's name, and you're out there throwing like a child.
I mean, Gas Can.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I know, like 4 runs in the first inning. It was like, yeah.
So in his last 3 outings, his first 3 outings of the year, he was actually really good. Went 5-6 innings each time, 5-6 strikeouts, only gave up a run, right? The last 3 outings, he went 3 innings, solid, and then in the 4th inning, he gave up 6.
Mm.
They had to pull him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The next start, he went 2 innings, and he gave up 6. And then last time he pitched 2/3 of an inning and gave up 4, had the bases loaded with 2 outs.
Yeah, that's not good enough for where this team needs to be, and no. you can't mash your way out of that. You can't, you know what I mean.
Give up 5-6 runs in the first inning, it's
really tough.
Yeah,
so
it's demoralizing, and you're getting your fucking teeth kicked.
And I don't think that they think anybody in the minors. I mean, they keep calling up like these other guys that kind of.
Seisling's the only other one that they've brought up that's done well.
Yeah, and you also got a couple hiccups in the bullpen because they're probably been taxed a little bit because these guys. Well, you know, listen, the top three are good: Verlander, Cole, and Wade Miley.
When you say hiccups in the bullpen, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You talking about like the Osuna giving up a run every now and again, or
no? I just mean that because the starters can't go deep in games. The 4 and 5 or whatever they're calling the 4 and 5, because that it's stretching the bullpen out. Osuna's had a hiccup once or two, but he's still rock solid.
Presley's been phenomenal. Yeah. Josh James is coming on,
but really, okay, so really right, and so but you can't use those three guys every single night.
Let's say Will Harris has been okay. He's had a couple hiccups. Devo's had a couple hiccups. You know, Devo couldn't find the strike zone the other night.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I'm saying is all that combined is you got a little bit of a hole there, and. Yeah. I'm not worried about the bullpen so much, but I do think you're going to have to add pitcher.
And they have 13 days to get it done.
Yeah.
The 31st is a hard trade deadline this year.
I think that there's going to be a pitcher move for them. And they've got a talented farm system. So you may have to give somebody the hurts.
Preston Tucker is the name that's going to probably have to go.
It's Kyle Tucker, I think.
That's what I think. Yeah, you're right. That's his brother.
Preston Tucker, I think, is gone already.
Yeah, but that,
Kyle
that's
Tucker, Kyle Tucker, but but he doesn't have a spot on this team the next 2 or 3 years either because
doesn't he play shortstop or third?
No, he's an outfielder. Okay. He's an outfielder, and with the way Brantley's played this year, I mean, come on, that guy's been a stud and a half. That was another loon out fucking gem of a pickup, All Star game appearance. He was injured last year. That guy stays healthy. I mean, he's legit. Monster.
He hit a bomb last night. He hit a bomb tonight.
Yeah, yeah. He is legit. Plays a really
Georgie
good.
Georgie hit a bomb tonight. When I left, Jordan was. Was 2 for 3.
Oh, okay.
He drove in. He had a 2-run double to start the game, and then another single or double after that. He got another run in. He drove.
Yeah, he's been another one. You know,
9 home runs, 9 doubles, 31 ribbies in 25 games.
That's pretty darn good. And
hitting .340.
You heard the story of how we got him, right?
Yeah, from it was the Dodgers trade. No.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, we traded the Dodgers, but the guy that we traded,
Josh Fields.
Yeah, he's now with. Isn't he with Milwaukee?
I have no idea. Josh Fields was just a B-minus reliever for the Astros, and they traded him for this guy. The Dodgers signed him. I think it was like the last year you could sign Cuban players without having to like them go through the proper draft or something like that. There's some kind of rule.
Just randomly go find a Cuban
Well, they just paid like $2 million for him. He could rake, you know what I mean? It's like a 17 or 18-year-old back then, maybe 19-year-old, because he's only 20, 21 right now.
He's 22.
Okay, so maybe he was like 19 back then. That was 3 years ago. But so they traded this pitcher named Josh Fields for him, and then when the Astros played the Dodgers in the World Series, whatever that was 3 years ago, Josh Fields gave up 2 home runs. And so the story is that the Astros got Jordan Alvarez and 2 home runs for Josh Fields. Yeah, that was a good trade.
That's a great trade.
Yeah, and he's been in the minors for like a year and a half, and you know, like
destroyed it.
What does he have? Nine home runs.
Nine
in
home runs.
Major
nine
league,
doubles.
And he's like 25 in the minors.
23.
Yeah. Okay. So
he's got more. So if you combine,
and he can walk, he's got a really good eye too. Like he's gonna be good.
If you combine his home runs and RBIs between the minors and the major, majors. He has 32 home runs on the season and 100 and I think it's 103 wow. RBIs now.
Wow, that's pretty insane.
And it's like 70 games.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
75 games. Something stupid. You're like, what?
He is, I mean, he is really, really good. So that's positive.
That was the greatest call-up from AAA I think I've ever seen in my life.
Really? Why do you say that?
Just because. Tell me somebody else that's come up and done that.
For the Astros? Bregman, when he came up, was really good. Correa was pretty good too.
They didn't put up those numbers. These are actually all time numbers.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about the home runs, yeah. I mean,
I'm talking about the slugging stuff. I'm talking about the batting average too. He's 340 plus.
Yeah, here. I mean, he's pretty damn awesome.
The moment he got called up and hits a home run in his first game, I was like, well, that kid's never going back to AAA. AAA, just get rid of his shit.
He's a big kid too, like 6'5".
He's 6'5", 245.
He's got a pretty good eye, really mashes, a good bat. You know, not just a slugger, not just throw it down the pipe and you're going to get crushed, but I mean, he seems like he really hit, you know. Yeah. I mean, he can drive the ball to the opposite field. He had a couple opposite field home runs in his first 4 or 5, whatever.
Every time he hits, all I say is, I love that kid.
Yeah.
I love that kid.
Jordan Alvarez. Makes it better when you know how the Astros got him, and it's just like, man, when you talk about Morey getting Westbrook, hey, man, hats off to you for pulling that move off. Good for you. But Morey, Jeff Luhnow is the king GM.
So Morey has now pulled off Harden and Westbrook.
Yeah, that's good, but he's not won a World Series. You're right. And he hasn't, I mean, he didn't draft Bregman and Correa. No. I don't think Luhnow gets credit for Correa drafting. Maybe. Did he draft Springer? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he didn't draft Springer, but he did draft Correa. But he definitely drafted Bregman. And I've said that story before about how they kind of had to bomb a draft and then not sign the guy, and they ended up getting the number two pick the next year, and that ended up turning to be Bregman. That
just worked out so much better.
So, yeah, good. Jeff Luhnow, I mean, 16, from Osuna, and think about the risk they took with Osuna, you know what I mean? The domestic abuse allegations, so on and so forth. You know,
Ryan Pressly.
Ryan Pressly, he's a local guy too.
He's not the same pitcher he was in Minnesota.
No, he was really good in Minnesota.
But he's a different pitcher here. That spin rate,
he's good.
Obviously, dude, baseball, though. Goddamn statistics and
analytics. The Astros are cheaters, but that's good. I like that they're cheating.
It's okay. Cheat with all the stats that are there.
That's that Trevor Bauer, guy.
Right. It's not cheating if all the stats are available. It's not my fault you don't know how to break them down. Yeah. You don't know how to put them in there and actually get an answer. Yeah. That's not my fault.
Yeah. If you're not working as hard as us on analytics, one of the cooler things I've ever had in my entire life was one of my manager meetings at Good Company. We went to Minute Maid Stadium, Minute Maid Park, and I guess Levi rented out one of their conference rooms there, and he had
I love this story.
As the guest speaker, the guy that ran the analytics for the Astros, and I can't remember his name now. It's in the book that I read.
Astroball?
Yep, Astroball on the shelf over there. Name escaped me for a second, but he's in the book and they talk about him. But that was really fascinating. I got to ask him some questions like their analytics. And I just, you know, what's really interesting is when I was in that meeting, I just got done reading Moneyball. So I kind of like got the analytics part of it. So I was like, oh, what about this? And he answered every question and was like kind of enthusiastic about it. And there's a couple other guys that kind of did the same thing.
He was probably hoping y'all had some nerd questions off the hip with.
But it was really neat. It was really neat. And so, man, since then I've bought into analytics, reading those series of books and so on and so forth. Like, it makes total sense to me that you break down, you know, everything down to kind of like this. You know, I guess the idea is that you're trying to find how to win games. You're trying to find an equation of how to win games. You know what I mean? This many hits plus this many RBIs plus this many home runs equals a World Series. And you know, the Astros have done that to a World Series so far. That's awesome. One of the coolest things ever happened.
American League Championship the following year, and we're gonna win it again this year.
I agree.
It's gonna happen. Hey, so drink time refill. By the way, I want to go out with one note.
What's that?
I see over there on your shelf, in addition to Astro Ball, you have a D12 bobblehead.
I do, and also have a.
You got a starting lineup of Elijah Wan? No, that's Ralph Sampson.
That is Ralph Sampson.
Ralph Sampson. Starting lineup. Of Ralph Sampson. Yeah, that's right.
In D12 on my shelf. There's also an Astros championship ring up there if you'd like to get nice and close. All right, my man, let's take a break right here. All right, so
today is July the 18th. There's a petition that's out there on social media that now has, what'd you say? It was over 1.5
I don't even know.
Million signatures.
Yeah.
Do you know the date that this petition is for? I'm going to look it up.
No, I don't. Okay, so right, what we're talking about is
July 18th. We're only a couple months away. We'll get the exact date here in a second.
Area 51. Have you signed up to go?
No.
Would you go?
No.
No. Okay. So what are they trying to do there? They're saying, like, basically, if enough of us go, the government can't stop us. Does that mean, like, you know, there's going to be tanks and whatever? Like, what are they expecting?
I don't know.
I don't either. But I think it's awesome. Do you want to know? I want to know about the aliens.
Sure, but...
What okay, do you think's so there?
September the 20th.
Ooh, is there some specific date? Is there some kind of cryptic message to that date?
9/20?
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. These things usually have some, like, deeper meaning, right? Some kind of...
You would think so. There's I've got 1.7 million on the Facebook page say they're going. An additional 1.3 million are interested.
Okay.
So these are going to be 1.3 million onlookers.
Okay. So how many of those people do you think are legit?
I don't know.
Man, these alien people are pretty crazy, the Nick. So...
Well, you've had all kinds of celebrities say they're doing it, too.
Who's the celebrities are doing it?
Chuck Norris.
Oh, yes.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Really?
John Cena.
Man, this thing just got a little more legit.
Jeff Goldblum. Will Smith. Jackie Chan.
All right. So what do you think is at Area 51?
You know who's going to get us in there, though?
Who? Chuck Norris, probably.
Well, it's either Chuck Norris. Keanu Reeves is going, too.
So that's pretty cool.
So we've got John Wick and Chuck Norris. I think we're just going to walk in.
Yeah, but no, Chuck Norris is...
What is the only Golden Girl who's alive? What's her name?
Oh, gosh.
Betty White.
Betsy Ross.
Yes, exactly. Betsy Ross. She was Betty amazing. White. Betty White is in.
Okay.
If anybody can walk up to the door and actually get us inside, it's Betty White.
Did you see the thing about Mark Zuckerberg is in?
Oh, is he?
Yeah. That's just because he wants to release his dad, apparently. Because he's
an
alien. I
did see that meme.
Yeah, okay.
I saw the meme.
I don't know. Okay, let's. Here's. I think the most serious part about this question is, first and foremost, do you believe in aliens?
Sure, absolutely,
100%.
I think it's obtuse to believe that we're the only intelligent beings.
Yeah, that's my answer to it. I think it's really naive. We're one speck on one planet, on one little galaxy. There's maybe
in our solar system,
maybe an infinite number of what solar systems?
An infinite number of galaxies.
Yeah.
Out
okay.
There. Yeah. So
galaxies. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So. Definitely aliens.
There's definitely something else.
Did they
out
crash
there.
Land in Area 51? Is that what we think's going on there?
Yeah, for sure, right? Roswell.
Is it about aliens? It's about aliens, right? That's what most people want to go there for.
Or is it anti-government? We want the truth. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we want the truth for sure. You can't handle the truth, man.
By the way, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, the X-Files are in too.
See, now it seems like it might be. See that, you know,
they're in. I'm just telling you.
I don't know, man. Some of these conspiracy podcasts I listen to, they talk about, like, the deep fake. And so this might be a deep fake. You know what I mean? It's trying to get your attention off bigger things. You know what I mean?
What you also see today, yesterday, today, whatever, everybody decided to use the old filter.
Yeah, did you hear about the conspiracy thing about that?
Well, then everybody was saying this is a Russian company that you've given your rights to.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Exactly, yeah. Ha ha ha, you old bitches. You can't wait till you get old to actually see yourself old. Have you done it yet?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Man, yeah, I don't know. I do have a Facebook account.
I have a Facebook, but I don't use Messenger because when I read the terms and agreements. No, the terms and agreements of Messenger on your phone, I was like, oh no.
I don't have Facebook on my phone.
I do have it on my phone.
I have it on my iPad.
Yeah.
Which goes with me pretty much everywhere, but I'm not on it constantly, which I think that's like my one way of, like, I don't know. Some way staying
remaining private.
Yeah, well, I also do. You think? Do you cover up the keyboard, your camera on your keyboard? I mean, on your computer?
No.
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 I do.
I walk around and put my butthole in front of that keyboard often. Actually, that's a lie, but it'd be worth starting to do now.
The NSA has got your butthole about 37 times. That's hot.
There you go.
All right, listen, we just not record this guy's stuff anymore. Right. It's nothing but buttholes.
Right, this guy keeps showing us straight up.
I think he's just fucking with us.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
I don't know. You trust...
Well, so
what were we talking about?
Area 51.
Area 51.
Area 51.
Well, okay, so if you had unlimited resources, are you going to go? Would you go? No, are you going
to
go?
You know, it'd be one of those things, honestly, I would be willing to go out there to the desert just to see what happens.
You want
to
know, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
how do we know if
I'm
storm the place?
I'm not storming the fucking doors.
Like, what if they started a GoFundMe? Would you send money their way? Like, here's $100. I can't go, but here's $100 for, like, water and.
I don't know. Do you think it's actually going to go through? Or
I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, people are crazy. Did you hear about the Antifa guy that tried to raid the ICE place?
No.
Yeah, he had, like, firebombs. He got mowed down. Yeah, you don't hear about it, right? That's interesting. You don't hear about that. Oh, right. Yeah. Some Antifa guy tried to blow up the ICE facility.
Huh.
Yeah, okay.
You mean the happy camp? Was he trying to go to a happy camp? That's what we call them, by the way. They're not concentration camps. They're not detention camps. They're not detention centers. They're happy camps.
Happy. Everybody's so happy when they go there.
Happy camps.
Happy, happy
It's
times.
The same kind of happy camps we put the Japanese into during World War II. Happy camps.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're the one that made me talk about ICE detention centers.
Dude, have you heard about Ice Bay? Ice Bay?
No.
Apparently it's a really good looking chick that was in a picture. And so they're like, oh, she's not really. And so like she like had a video now. She's cute. She's cute.
I did. I know what you're talking about.
Bless her
When
heart.
You said Bay, I was assuming B-A-Y, not the...
Bay, like B-A-E, I think is how they how the kids do that.
Slang thing. Yeah.
Ice Bay. Yeah, she's cute though. I mean, she's got that going for her.
Where was she at?
I think the story was that when Vice President Mike Pence went to visit the detention center, what are they calling them? What is the official term?
I'll use I think that. They're detention centers.
Yeah. What is Guantanamo Bay exactly? A detention center? Is that the same thing? I don't know.
That's a happy camp.
It's a different kind of happy camp.
Gitmo.
Here's some happy water oaring. They don't do that anymore.
No,
that's cruel.
But according to Harold and Kumar, they do have cock meat sandwiches for lunch.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's yummy. With some mayonnaise.
Oh, God, Josh. Wow. Speaking of detention centers and people...
Like, I don't want to talk seriously about any of this stuff because it's so ridiculous.
No, but I'm going to say, speaking of cock meat sandwiches and covered in mayonnaise...
Ooh, I love this segue.
Jeffrey Epstein was denied bail and he's going to actually have to stay in jail.
Man, what's unfortunate is I'm reading an article right now and I didn't get to the juicy stuff, but it's supposed to articulate that maybe Jeffrey Epstein was a CIA agent plant and that he was there to help... blackmail people?
There was something. Yes, I was asking the calls. Like, did you
like
not,
maybe
did you
encouraged
not, I said,
by the
did
CIA?
Not see this article where he was supposedly belonged to intelligence or something of that effect.
So here's what I heard. Here's what I heard today that in one of the safes at one of his places, they found a passport with a fake name, and it's a Saudi Arabian passport.
Diamonds and jewelry and stuff. I was actually just reading an article. For those of you that don't know, Jeffrey Epstein has been federally indicted and charged that between 2002 and 2005, Mr. Epstein and his employees paid dozens of underage girls to engage in sex acts with him in homes in Manhattan and Palm Beach, Florida. The indictment also accused Mr. Epstein of using his victims to recruit additional girls, mm-hmm. paying his victim recruiters hundreds of dollars for each girl they brought him. Jeffrey Epstein was trying to... he was trying to use all the money he has, which they say is worth about $500 million. Is that what it is? Yeah, $500 million. He was trying to convince a judge that he should be able to be on house arrest with security there at his home. Yeah. Luckily, the judge, Judge Berman, said his proposed bail package was irretrievably inadequate.
So you know he got arrested before and convicted, and they reduced his charge. He's supposed to be on a sex registry. He's supposed to be on a sex registry, but he wasn't. They're like, oh, we forgot to put him on there, and then his like whatever 18-month sentence was basically on house arrest.
Right.
Listen, think about this: if you're a billionaire, what's better than to be on house arrest? You kidding me? In my own house, my own freaking mansion where I can.
Yeah.
I mean, you kidding me?
I'll behave.
Yeah. You say, I can't leave my mansion? Okay, I guess I'll have to slum it in my mansion. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, they called him a billionaire a couple times, and now they're saying that he didn't have $1 billion.
$500 million is what they're saying net worth. Bottom line is, you still got plenty of money, brother.
Well, yeah, but there's some question marks on where he got his money, right? I like to really go down the conspiracy theory angle, and that's why I think that he was a CIA agent or an agent of Mossad or something like that. In deep cover, and basically he was a blackmail artist, and so he'd get these guys in compromising positions in order to manipulate them down the road. That's what I think happened, and that's why he's been largely untouched for so long, and now the chickens are coming home to roost. I don't know, it just seems like a more fun way to think about how creepy and awful this human being is.
I don't really give a shit what
it's the most disgusting thing ever. It's the most disgusting thing ever. Listen, people like this, he should be in gin pop in the prison. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, he should be exposed to all the creepiest, awful parts of prison. Many people should not be in prison. He is one that should be put away for maybe eternity.
The judge noted that the crimes Mr. Epstein has been charged with were among the most heinous in the law, principally in the court's view, because they involve minor girls.
All right. Anything else you gotta say on this? It's just so gross.
Yeah, this is, well, this dude, enjoy your cock meat sandwiches with mayo and
Mayonesa.
I'm interested to see the, what was it? They said there's like 2,000 plus documents that his attorney is going to release.
It will be interesting. He's going to try to cut a deal because that's his deal. That's sure. his thing, he's right? Gonna, so let's see who gets wrapped up in this deal. A lot of people think Trump might. A lot of people think
there's
Clinton
video.
Might.
There's video of Trump and him back in the 90s at yep. Mar-a-Lago.
Clinton.
Grabbing girls. Were they grabbing them by the pussy? Isn't that the phrase? Yeah. Grabbing
them
by the pussy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how else do you grab them?
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be interesting what all this plays
they
out.
They like it that way, Nick, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's ridiculous. Clinton also, what's the attorney? Dershowitz apparently has got some ties to this guy. But
really?
A bunch of people. Oh, yeah. This is, it's going to be interesting. If there's some actual proof that comes out of this, it'd be really interesting. A lot of people who know their names might get wrapped up in this. And listen, if that's the truth, if these creepos are out there, man, I want every single one of them to explode.
Okay, so here's the really crazy off the side approach. What if all these names come out?
Uh-huh.
And then we actually realize what kind of a fucked up society we live in where the rich people can still buy their way out of it. All of them. What if none of them end up going down? Let's say we get a bunch of names, we get a bunch of proof, and yet we have a fucking justice system that fails.
Would that surprise you?
I think that there's got to be a tipping point somewhere with the American public.
Like, how about this? Do you think that these things have never gone on before? Think about the Catholic Church, right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, like, we're talking about these prominent people now, but the Catholic Church is, I mean, how many Catholics are there? How many people, you know what I mean? Like
6 million? More than that, right?
Catholics?
Yeah, there's more than that.
Oh, sure, I'm sure. Around the world?
Hold on, I'm going to pull up that number. That's a good question.
There's 330 million Americans.
Yeah.
How many of those are Catholic? Anyway, so think about that and how many people kind of swept that old shit under the rug. Listen, if people in charge of my faith got caught doing this stuff, they'd probably make me challenge my, I don't know, maybe not, maybe not. Maybe there's some explanation for it. But I think it'd make me challenge the whole institution of Catholicism.
1.2 billion.
That's it?
Huh. Billion.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a lot of people that, I mean, how many... I mean, how many of those priests have been caught, right? How many of them, been, you know what I mean? In this article I'm reading, there's a story about how...
There's a movie called Spotlight. We have it saved on DVR. I haven't watched it, but it's about the first story or whatever that came out and actually broke
for that?
Yeah.
But when was that, though?
I think, I want to say the movie looks like it's in the mid-80s or something.
Okay, so there's been stuff going on for hundreds of years before that.
Sure.
The article I was reading about Jeffrey Epstein, which didn't even get to that point in it. It's like the first part was all going back to... J. Edgar Hoover, apparently. And so, you know, like, J. Edgar Hoover was probably gay and dressed like a woman, right? They went back to some of the sex...
He had dirt on everybody.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So, this article starts talking about how... Basically, the article, what I suspect, and I'll send it to you, is going to talk about, which I shouldn't talk about on the air without reading the whole thing, but it's about the concept of blackmailing people in order to keep them in line, right?
Right.
And so, the concept is that Jeffrey Epstein was... He had all the dirt on people, so he would set them up, basically. J. Edgar Hoover was the same way, and so J. Edgar Hoover may have gotten it from these early mafia bosses. So the blackmailing people to keep them in line came from organized crime that started out in the Prohibition era that, you know, flourished after Prohibition, so on and so forth. And basically this tactic of... that they would set up these there was a hotel, right? And so basically they had these sex parties. And so that's where apparently J. Edgar Hoover would dress up like a woman and introduce himself as Mary. And they had these underage boys that were supposed to be, you know, prostitutes or whatever. And this guy had the whole room bugged. And so, like, you would get yourself in these compromising positions and he would say, hey, by the way, we need you to vote this way, or we need you to do this, or we need you to look this way, or so on and so forth. Where J. Edgar Hoover comes in is where the mafia was basically saying, you need to go around the country saying that there's no such thing as the mafia. And that's what he did. He was like, no, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And meanwhile, these guys were basically getting away with murder.
There's no organized crime.
Yes. And so these guys, and then J. Edgar Hoover gets involved in this and they're basically swapping stories. So, you know, but they had the compromise on J. Edgar Hoover. So he was in their pocket, but he's also using these same tactics. Anyways, it's very interesting to think about that going on for way, way longer than maybe the 80s.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So maybe this has been going on for a long, long time. And, you know, J. Edgar Hoover is awful. He's an awful human being.
He ran the FBI for a long time.
For a long time.
A lot of people say he ran the country, and if you have dirt on everybody, you do run the world.
Yeah, he's awful. That's awful. That's an awful institution.
Sure.
Yeah. So back to, you know, Josh Schatzer's way of thinking, when you talk about the anarcho-capitalist kind of philosophy, it's like, man, our most prized institution. You know, people talk about how Trump was going after the FBI and how you can't go after the FBI. It's the FBI. You know what I mean? They're the most sacred cops in the whole world. It's like, yeah, not exactly. Anyways.
Fidelity, bravery, integrity. That is what the FBI stands for, sir.
I'm glad you said it, not me. the best part of that story
is... Was that not a facetious...
No government. We shouldn't be ruled by those people.
Tlaib from Michigan. All are born in U.S. except for Omar from Minnesota. She came to the U.S. as a child after fleeing from Somalia with her family. It is important because the comment to tell them go back where they came from when three of them are, in fact, American citizens, it's uncouth.
Sure.
The president, when we were in Tennessee on vacation, I had some of the most interesting conversation about...
Are you offended by the comments? I'm just curious, like...
I'm going to get to all of it. Okay. It's not even an offense. It's...
Tell me the story about...
We're in Tennessee, I was actually sitting having a conversation of politics with my dad, the colonel, Nicole's grandfather, and Jordan, my brother-in-law. So all of us were sitting around the table talking.
Okay.
Talking politics, having a drink, whatever. And every one of them there was a pro-Trump, except me.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Your dad, who else did you say?
The colonel.
Oh, the colonel. Yeah, he didn't like Hillary.
Yeah, he has reasons for Hillary, but...
Yeah.
Her grandfather, who's 84, 85 years old, and then Jordan.
What do you think the appeal is for them?
Well, it was different for each of them. The irony of it was my father was really likes his border policy.
Interesting.
His mother came across illegally, but that's okay.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. There is validity to the point of there is no sovereign country without actual set borders. Sure.
I would be curious about your solution. Do you have a solution?
I'm not going off on any of those yet. Oh, damn Josh. It. I'm staying on my points here, but okay. My topic. Her grandpa Dean didn't really say a whole lot, which didn't surprise me because, you know, he's 85 and he was just listening, but he's also very set in his ways. And actually, her grandma Carol was in there for a while too.
Also pro-Trump?
Oh yeah. But every single issue for her, there are no single issues. Everything ties to another issue, so they're all strung together.
Probably so. I mean, it's a lot of ways. There's some validity to that.
Yeah, but you can't fix it that way. It's impossible to fix anything if they're all tied together.
I disagree, but I don't want to
fix one problem. Everything's tonight.
No, 10 seconds. In the government, all the problems are solved there. Boom. Next question.
Shut up. And then Jordan. And so when we're having this discussion about it, it was interesting to hear all of them, just their thoughts and feelings and opinions of why they were pro. And one of the most interesting opinions, or at least it goes back to what I'm talking about here, you know, this video is the president at one of his, what I like to call the trumpeteers, like the mousketeers, the trumpeteers.
That's what you came up with?
Yeah, that's what I've...
There's something better. There's got to be something better than that.
Nobody else has said it. I'm actually going to go ahead and put, you know, bad hair on a headpiece and put their name on it, and they have a little song, too. I'm not going to sing a song. My point is, they all start chanting behind him, send her back.
Because, oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Because... he is making it okay to say things that are just completely out of whack with being the president.
Mm, yeah.
Where I was going with this is there was a comment from my brother-in-law. He said, I don't remember a time ever in my life. And he said, we were really big into politics my whole life. I don't ever remember a time when somebody openly disrespected the office of the president as much as they do now, or how the media attacked the president the way they do now. And every one of them were all chiming in about it and how he is attacked and how he does this and how he does that. And it shouldn't be there shouldn't be an issue with what he says because he shoots from the hip and he's every guy and he's every normal person.
Hmm.
And my counter to both of those points was simple. The office of the president is an everyday man. It's not you and me. That's an office of a diplomat. The reason he doesn't get respect from people like me is he doesn't act like a diplomat at all. You don't get to act like an asshole and say whatever the fuck you want to say and then say, well, you can't talk to me like that. I'm the president. No, the president doesn't talk like that. The president actually is supposed to represent the country and the people. He doesn't do that. He enjoys the dichotomy. He enjoys the divide. He preys on the fact that these people worship what he says. He never admits he's wrong at anything he's ever said once. Instead, he says, there's people that liked it. There's people that didn't like it, but there's people that liked it. That's all he gives a fuck about, is that the people, there are some people that liked it. But when you follow that train of thought, that blind adherence to everything he says, that's dangerous.
All right, my rebuttal is this. why I like Trump is because I think what Trump is every politician ever to its most like egregious, like most exploitive representation of what a politician is. That doesn't make any sense. Like if politicians never had that governor that says don't say that in public, right? That's exactly what Trump is. He is a politician. He's not.
He's the president. You don't get to be a politician as the president. You're the president now. You're the head of the fucking most powerful country. You represent. You're supposed to be a diplomat.
Not supposed to be what? Just because everyone before him has been that, and that's the way we expect him to be?
So he's exempt from being a diplomat as the president? So we don't demand the president be diplomatic anymore? Is that what you're telling me?
What do you mean?
You want the president to be a fucking jackass?
Yeah, kind of.
So you want it to become Idiocracy?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's retarded.
Why is that retarded?
Because you're anarcho-capitalistic. No. Here's the deal, Nick.
It's always been Idiocracy. Do you understand that? It's just now people are waking up to seeing how crazy politics are. Listen, we should all look at this and go, holy shit, we should never give the president this much power. As a society, we should look at what Donald Trump is doing right now and say, why the fuck did we get in a situation where one man has this much power? 330 million of us. Why does one man have this much power? No, not impeach him. No, stop.
Clinton for less.
That's not the answer. The answer is not it's all Trump and nothing else. The answer is this is all politicians. It's exactly what
for less.
Listen. Who cares what Trump says, okay? I care.
Or does?
Yes. Who cares what he says?
Or does.
I said who cares what he says.
And I'm saying I care what he says and what he does.
Okay, I care more about what he does than what he says. I really could care less what he says. He says things because he is playing a game with America.
So you're assuming he's that much smarter than everybody.
No, I don't think he's smart at all. I think he's playing a game, right?
That would insinuate that he's smarter than the people that he's playing a game against.
No, what do you mean he's smart enough? No.
If he's playing a game with the American public.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. It's a game. It's a popularity contest. That's what it is. It's like if you go to a high school party and two guys get into a Yo Mama joke contest.
I wouldn't call it a game, but okay. I get what you're saying.
That's all it is, okay? And all politics are that. So, yes, I want to see the worst part about it. I think the worst part about it should be brought to full life. I like, not because I want to see it, but because I'm hoping that people will look at it and go, this is ridiculous. Why do we give one person this much control, this much power, this much attention, right? I've always said the best way to govern is locally, right? Texas should not care about what the fuck California does, right? The people in Houston, Texas should not care about what the people in fucking El Paso do, right? You should be governed by the most local local.
And we agree on right? that. Okay. Local government.
Listen, what Trump does, in my opinion, I'm hoping that it causes people to say this is ridiculous. It's not, by the way. It's causing more tribalism, and maybe that's what tears this whole thing down. And maybe that's the good thing. You know, I talked about collapsitarianism one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's all about like just
words, yeah.
breaking it all down, like just letting it all collapse. You know what I mean? But
I think where we are,
listen, I don't care what Trump says. Like, listen, he's an offensive, vile, New York, fucking egotistical. But you know, you could insert every single politician that's ever come before him in that conversation too. And I feel like it's like, yeah, that's probably him too. I mean, you don't think Richard Nixon was the same thing? You don't think fucking the Bushes were the same? You don't think Barack Obama was an egotistical fucking jerk in a lot of ways? Yeah, they all are. You have to be that to be president, right? To be in charge of 330 million people?
My question is why today, where we are, why do we allow it from him?
We should not allow it, by way of saying
Clinton was impeached for far less. Where's the moral right? Where's the Christian moral right that was screaming when Clinton had marital infidelity?
Their tribalism blinds them to that.
Right, because this dude raw dogs fucking porn stars and then pays them off to try to be quiet.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting.
If he's mentioned in this fucking sex thing with Dickhead, what's his name?
Epstein.
No, it'll be. Is that finally going to bring him down?
No, I heard Rush Limbaugh today say that deficits don't matter and we should be worried about the debt. Like, listen, yeah, this is all about tribalism. Listen, and we're all losing. Freedom is losing, and that's the most important thing. Liberty and freedom are losing in this battle, and that to me is more important than what the fuck Donald Trump tweets about the fucking squad, which both sides are ridiculous.
So the tweet's not what bothered me. What bothered me was this damn rally where they're sitting there screaming.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen,
That's the people. That's the Trumpeteers. The ones that fucking blindly follow everything this guy says. They're dangerous
because he's winning the culture war, and that's the game that he's playing. He's winning those people because those people think that's more important. But these are the football Karens. These are the people that aren't very bright. These are the people that watch Fox News. It's unfortunate, but we live in a democracy, right? And so these people get to vote too. We actually live in a republic, but
yeah. No. The reason I say that, I'm telling you why I think they're dangerous though. They're dangerous because people blindly listen to everything he says, insinuates, tweets, says that's off color, that makes them think it's okay to embody that,
right?
That anger and that hate, that fucking us versus them, the actual tribalism.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of shit that leads to people getting hurt.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit. Today, my boss was telling me, we had a lunch thing. He was telling me that he went out to Jasper last night. I was like, you're not from here, are you? He's a white guy, but I said, you're not from here.
What do you mean, Jasper?
Jasper, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Does the name James Byrd Jr. mean anything?
Yeah, that was like 30 years ago.
Is that relevant?
Jasper's not the same way anymore.
My point is that what led to that is that blind fucking hate.
Yeah, but do you think that kind of hate's prevalent now? Jasper now? Have you been to Jasper?
No, I'm not talking about Jasper. I'm talking about the rally. I'm talking about them.
Do you think there's a racial element to that?
I'm thinking that bottom line is
it's an otherism, but
those that typically follow that blindly. Same way we were talking earlier about those blindly back the blue, right? Those that blindly follow something and automatically think everything I do in the name of blah 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 is okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's where it's dangerous. And that's what I'm saying. For somebody in his position,
how about this?
To make this shit okay.
Okay, can you
is not good.
Do you think that it happens on both sides? Or do you think this is exclusive to Donald Trump? Or is it just you're more frustrated because he's the president?
Yeah. I think that all of those, yeah.
Hmm. All right. Listen, I don't know. I mean,
I think there's definitely hate on both sides, but what's driving it is that you have a man in a position. Dude, I saw it on Facebook today or yesterday. Some idiot actually put a tattoo on their body and said, Trump's not my president. I'm like, you put his name on your body, you fucking idiot.
That's as ridiculous as...
Yeah, that's retarded. It's like, you can say it, you can yell it, you can mean it, but you don't tattoo that on your body. I mean, how stupid are you?
That's pretty dumb.
That's beyond dumb. That's beyond dumb. My point is, though, that people do stupid shit in the belief of whatever, and they go to crazy extremes, and that's what leads to shit like that. And that is not acceptable. That is not okay.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I agree with you that the manifestation of Trump love is gross, but I don't think it's exclusive to him. I think any kind of worship of a human being is frankly gross.
Sure.
I mean, you know, when you talk about politicians, that's even more weirdly gross. The whole love for Obama was gross. The Bernie bro stuff is really gross. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? All that stuff is gross. These are human beings. And furthermore, we shouldn't have a society where so much is rested in these freaking vaulted people who, well, I mean, like, these are our leaders. You know what I mean? These are our, overlords in a lot of ways, right? I mean,
our owners?
No.
I was making a circle there, Josh.
No, but I mean, our overlords in a lot of ways. These are overlords. But why do we send so much power to Washington? That's my first thing, right? More local kind of
in order
governance.
To keep it more local governance, you actually need your local representation to stay local. Simple as that.
Well, there's a lot of fixes, and I know that I always implore the kind of anarcho-capitalist, because I think that's what libertarian is when it's all the way fleshed out. It's like if you take the philosophy of the non-aggression principle mixed with property rights, then there is no reason to have a government. You know what I mean? And that's what anarcho-capitalism means. And so when I talk about that, that's kind of how it's all fleshed out. Now, that's... You have to have morals, and you have to have
right,
a certain set of...
We've gone into depths of this, you and I. And
It doesn't work in a vacuum. And right. But I can see a society where we're currently constituted transitioning to something like that. Yeah. And even if maybe that doesn't happen in my lifetime, even if that's a pipe dream, it's still philosophically way more interesting than any other political philosophy. And if that's my ultimate goal, then everything that politically we do to get us closer to that is a positive. You know what I mean? I can kind of wrap my head around both concepts. You know what I mean? And so like libertarian politicians, for example, like I was listening to a guy the other day talk about what we can do in the libertarian movement. And some of it is getting local libertarians elected to local
sure.
positions. You know, that's something that's interesting, like to being judges or to being, you know,
You know that you don't actually have to have any prerequisite to be a judge, by the way?
Yeah, there's lots of ways we can...
You can go run to be a judge.
Yeah, there's lots of ways we can just ground roots movement, and I think that's really interesting, and that's something...
I told Nicole kind of jokingly, but I'm like, dude, I want to go be a judge.
But what about your school board, or what about this and that, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know about a school board. I want to be a judge.
Well, but I'm just saying there's lots of roles that we could play a bigger role in. So, yeah, while I may be philosophically anarcho-capitalist, I think maybe... politically libertarian is also interesting, and I'm interested in those concepts. That being said, Trump is a useful idiot in some ways, and also a huge detriment to liberty.
I'm going
to
say he's an abhorrent human being, and I'd like to punch him in the face.
I think you can insert politician into any of those conversations.
Oh, Ted Cruz is right there too. I don't like that guy either. Yeah, I don't know. Ultimately though, hey, fuck it. It's a glorious, glorious time to be alive. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's the summer of 2019.
It's the summer of love where we...
Summer of love.
Where we basically tweet hate at our enemies. All right, we got to wrap this thing up because we've been going for about an hour. All right, so let's do What Are You Into, My Friend?
So, brother, I've still been reading The Walking Dead comic online.
You told me you're almost caught up.
No, I'm past the show now. I'm... comic episode like 84. I ended at 184.
Yeah, but what are they up to now total?
The story ends at 193.
Oh, the entire story? The
comic book ends at
193. Oh, it's over after that?
It's over.
Oh, my goodness. So you're 10 away, would you say?
Yeah, 9, 10 away. I'm at 84.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
9 away. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Still into that. Man,
somebody sets up a nuclear bomb, I think, and just the whole world just crumbles.
Nowhere near what happens. I already know because...
Oh, you skipped ahead?
No, I read too much, you know, spoilers, trailers, blah, 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 sneak peeks, things, yeah. Anyways, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I told Nicole, I feel like the show's actually... The comic book is going to go out on a whimper.
Oh, really?
I feel like that. How we're getting there. So I don't know how the show's going to end up because the show has different people alive. There's different people alive on the show versus the comic book, so it is what it is.
So you can't like they're not analogous. At some point they go so far off that
listen,
they can't.
Daryl Dixon on the show,
yeah,
he doesn't exist in the comic book. Never has, never will.
Yeah, okay. So that's the whole big kind of piece.
I mean, there's things like that. I mean, Carol died at the prison long time ago. Morgan died long time ago.
Yeah, okay.
All those things. It's over. Yeah, it's way different. So we'll see.
Are you excited about the show to start again?
I am. I'm excited. Season 10's getting ready to come up. I haven't seen the Comic-Con thing, but I did see trailers today for Jay and Silent Bob, the reboot for those two idiots, and they look terrible, but it looks funny.
Awesome.
And then also the trailer for Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, that can't be good.
No, I'm pretty upset with what I saw. I know a lot of people were happy about it.
I saw Flo post something. I was like, oh, I'm so excited.
Listen, no, 55-year-old, 60-year-old Tom Cruise can't be flying as a captain. You're a full bird colonel at that point. You're a captain. You're also... based on just simple time, you're 30 years older than when the last movie came out, so you're pushing 60, Hoss. Yeah. You're not fucking flying.
No, I don't think so.
Unless you're out of school, and you're not, so.
So.
What are you into, Josh?
So, I, you know, first and foremost, I have unleashed a demon in my life, and that is the fact that I've figured out how to rent books from the library.
Yes.
And
yes.
So now anytime I read a book or read anything that's like, you should read this book, I go and look it for it on the library, and it's like, yeah, loan it. No, put a hold on it, and then when right. it just shows up yeah. in my account, you have to read it because you only have 2 weeks, and so I'm bombarded. But it has forced me to really read a couple books very fast, and one of them, which I'll be finished with tonight probably or maybe tomorrow, is With the Old Breed, and it is the story of the World
War
II.
Marine Division.
Well, it's not the First Marines. He's not necessarily in the First Marines, but he's in the 5th Marines, I want to say. He is a mortarman in the 5th Marines, and the story is freaking fascinating. A couple of the takeaways for me are, first and foremost, these kids these days got it made. I mean, you want to talk about privilege? Everybody that doesn't have to fight in war is fucking privileged. You know what I mean?
Sure.
What those guys had to deal with. I mean, it's a month in fucking torrential downpour rain. There's a story where he basically doesn't get to take his boots off for a month.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, it's freaking insane. And I mean, people shooting at you, literally shooting at you. It's got to be the worst existence. You know what I mean? And I mean, you're just stuck there on a foreign island that you can barely pronounce the name, fighting people that want to cut your head off.
Just because you're wearing a different uniform, you're there to take some. You're there to fight them. So
yeah, and it's quite amazing. And you know, they talk about the Greatest Generation, but that's pretty awesome.
Fair enough. It's awful loud the second time there.
I don't know why, but we're having some trouble with the music. Yeah,
it's all good, man. It's all good. Josh, it's been a good episode. We're out of drinks this time. So
oh, see, that's the whole thing right there. That's ridiculous.
We're out of drinks right now, so it's time to wrap this
up. We have to wrap it up because we got to get some more drinks.
What do you want to do on the next podcast, Josh?
Nick, let's do the same thing we do every time.
What is that?
Try and take over the world.